Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing his series of messages on Psalm 23. This sermon is titled, The Lord is My Shepherd, Even Here, and is based on Psalm 23, verse 4. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is found in Psalm 23. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23. We return back to our series in Psalm 23, and this morning we come to verse 4. We will spend time meditating upon what God tells us in Psalm 23 and verse 4. But we'll read the psalm in its entirety. Psalm 23, a psalm of David, the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let all God's people say,
Amen.
Dear people of God, the Lord remembers that we are dust. That's what we confess today. And using the words of Psalm 103, the Lord remembers that we are dust. And yet we as dust sometimes feel like we are just being blown in the wind. Here I am, all tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without. Here I am, exposed and alone. Is that not sometimes the lot of God's people, that we feel as if we are dust in the wind? And yet the Lord remembers that we are dust. And the Lord counts all the tears of his people and places them in a bottle. And the day is coming, according to God's promise, when he will wipe away all those tears. That's a reminder, isn't it? A reminder that if you do not shed any tears in this life, there will be no tears for him to wipe away. And the many tears which you do shed in this life, he has promised to wipe away. Well, what happens when we feel alone? So many conflicts, so many doubts, fightings within, fears without. What happens when we feel exposed to danger and to dread? What happens when we are confronted with the valley of the shadow of death? Well, today God would teach us something, and he would teach us it very personally. He would teach to you that he, the good shepherd, is the everlasting security of you, his blood-bought sheep. If you are a blood-bought sheep here today, knowing that you belong to your faithful Savior, the good shepherd wants you to know that he is your everlasting security. He is your everlasting security wherever he leads, first of all. Wherever he leads. At all times and in all places, but particularly in the dangerous situation here proposed in verse 4 of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is here that you and I need to see this verse in connection with the Good Shepherd's leading. Yes, the Good Shepherd leads us beside still waters. Yes, the Good Shepherd leads us to green pastures. Yes, the Good Shepherd leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But here we are told that the Good Shepherd even leads you in and through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of gloom. Deep darkness. This dark valley. this dark valley is as truly one of Christ's right paths as are the green pastures and the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, you and I must not think that the Christian life is somehow a bed of roses. We must not think that the Christian life, that in it we are promised a life full of ease and comfort without trouble, that somehow the gospel of Christianity is a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Anyone who believes that must not have lived very long, because that is not what God promises. Our Savior has said to us, in this world you will have tribulation. The Apostle Paul speaks of the sufferings of this present world. We are told that through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom of God. And if you have not suffered much yet, it is because you have not yet lived long enough. Oh, it is very true. It is very true that the Good Shepherd leads us even in this place. And we need to embrace this truth that He is our everlasting security even in the shadow of death. But we might ask, why? Why does He lead you here? Why does He lead you through the valley of the shadow of death? Well, again, maybe we need to consider the imagery, the metaphor, in terms of the literal sheep and shepherd. What happens? What happens in the Middle East during summertime? Well, what happens is you get hot, arid weather, and all the vegetation, which is in the lower elevations, begins to dry out and burn up in the noonday sun. And so what does the shepherd need to do in the summertime to continue caring for the flock which is entrusted to him? That shepherd needs to move the flock to higher ground, because it's in the higher elevations that there is still vegetation. And the only pathway to get to the higher elevations is often through dark and narrow ravines. It's only in working your way up to the higher elevations through these dark, narrow ravines that it can be accomplished. And so, it's also in these dark and narrow ravines that there is still vegetation growing. It is here where, if there is any water to be had in the arid Middle East, it's found here. It's found in these dark, dark crevices, making your way up to the higher ground. And so we need to remember. We need to remember that as the literal image of a shepherd and his sheep is thought about, that this, as it were, helps us to understand why the Good Shepherd leads us through such dark valleys in the Christian life. That He is leading you to higher ground. And He is leading you in such a way that you are in pathways in which there is water, there is food, and there are things to learn. Oh, to be sure, these pathways are narrow, they're dark, they can be very dangerous. You can think of a flash flood which rolls in, and you are in a narrow crevice working your way up to higher elevations. It seems as though there's no escape. You can think of the predators lurking in the caves and in the recesses. But the choice of this pathway is wise, because the goal which the Good Shepherd has is to get you to higher ground. And we realize, as we think about our own lives, whether it's a father who's struck with cancer, a wife suffering chronic and debilitating pain, a career path which is unraveling, children bereft of father in the prime of life, a good name vilified, a reputation lost, children who are wayward and prodigal, grandchild dying before her time, finances dwindling, all of these things we realize can be dark pathways. Difficult times can be the valley of the shadow of death. And what of aging and moving towards the last enemy, death itself? It's good for us to remember that getting old is not a spectator sport. You don't sit in the bleachers and watch others wear out on the field. You're on the field, and there's no one to sub for you. And God leads us. The Good Shepherd leads us and shows us that in these dark and dangerous pathways, He is my security. He is my safety. He is the one who cares for me even here. The shadow of death can be relentlessly closing in on you or ones whom you dearly love. But here is a test. A test for you. Where is your security? Where is your confidence? Where is your assurance? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The temptation is to object. God surely won't lead me here. But He has. And so notwithstanding your objection, this is where the Lord leads. He has. And if He hasn't yet, He will. We must not promise ourselves immunity from troubles or perils. We must expect them. And we must prepare for them by looking exclusively to the Good Shepherd. For this is the appointed pathway in which sheep learn that the Good Shepherd is my everlasting security, even here. And maybe we could say, especially here. Especially when the deep gloom of darkness settles in and I cannot see my hand in front of my face. I cannot see the next step that I need to take. I cannot even see my shepherd, but I hear His voice still. And I feel His presence still. Even when it is so dark that I cannot see in front of my face. One author put it this way, affliction is the Christian's theologian. I never knew the meaning of God's word until I came into affliction. My temptations have been my masters in divinity. No man without trials and temptations can attain a true understanding of the Holy Scriptures and the promises of God to be with him. How many promises do we have in the Word of God which would be utterly irrelevant if you did not go through these dark and dangerous ravines? Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will hear you, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Yes. One poet put it this way, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. One faithful preacher of old said this, true believers, though they are under the protection of God, are notwithstanding exposed to many dangers, yes, liable to all the afflictions which befall mankind in common. Why? Why? So that we might better feel and appreciate how much we need the protection of God. Let us not then promise ourselves continual pleasures and ease in this world, but rather fortify yourself for the future with the certain knowledge that as often as you shall be exposed to the danger, any danger, you will have a sufficient defense and protection under the care of your Good Shepherd. You must not have any carnal security. When in prosperity, consider and do not forget that you are a mortal man or woman and that God tries your faith by adversity. Yes. Do you believe that the Good Shepherd is your everlasting security wherever He leads? Even when He leads here. But how is he your everlasting security? If you belong to him as one of his purchased sheep, how is it that he is your everlasting security? He is because of what he gives. Because of what he gives. Do you see it in verse 4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What does he give? What does he give to you in the valley of the shadow of death? What does verse 4 tell you he gives you? He gives you himself. For you are with me. For you are with me. This is why I will not fear, because you are with me. Again, all depends upon the presence of the good shepherd. If he goes not with me, then all is undone and all is lost. Oh, but to know you are with me. You are with me. Think of the willingness of your good shepherd to abide with you in times of darkness. Think of his commitment to stay with you in times of trouble. Think of his faithfulness to never leave you nor forsake you, to be with you until the end of the world, the end of the age. As I heard he said, you may not see him in the darkness, but can you not still hear his face? Hear his voice, feel his face, his presence near. You may not be able to see him in the darkness, but he is with you in the valley of the shadow of death. And yet, again, we object. But I've never been here before. How can I be sure that he will walk with me? How can I be assured that he will walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death to the higher ground, which is here spoken of? Well, you may not have been here before, but he has. He has. He has been here before. He has faced not just the shadow of death, but death itself. He has experienced the death of the damned as he laid down his life for many. He has been here before. You may not know what the next step is. You may not be able to see. You may not know whether to go right or to left or to the left, but he knows, for he has been here. He received the venomous sting, did he not? He is the one who died for us. Think of the stinging bee. The honeybee with a stinger, a barbed stinger. Many of you have been stung by a bee before. But what happens after that bee stings? That barbed stinger sticks in its victim. And that bee no longer has a stinger. Oh, it continues to fly around and it continues to harass and to scare and to, as it were, cause fretful feelings. You can think of a small child. There you are, the parent. The bee has stung you, and there is the four-year-old child, and the bee is still flying all around the child, and the child is almost ecstatic in terms of fear. But the stinger is in you, and the bee can no longer sting. And here is our Savior, the one who has been in the valley of the shadow of death and has come through it. And the stinger has been left in Christ. And the sting of death can no longer hurt you if you are in Jesus Christ. And his victory over death is ours. And this is the one who is with us. He gives us himself in and through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, the good shepherd is the everlasting security of his blood-bought sheep because he gives himself. But think further with me. He who gives himself is armed to protect his sheep to the end. Isn't he? Isn't that what we read? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The one who gives himself is armed to protect you in this place of darkness and gloom. He is armed with both rod and staff. And the sheep take comfort. Find comfort. Because the good shepherd is armed against enemies without. To use the rod as a cudgel to keep back the coyote, the mountain lion, and the wolf. The good shepherd has a rod, which is also a scepter. For even King Jesus rules and reigns in the valley of the shadow of death. It's the same word in the Hebrew. The word for rod is the word for scepter. And it is here that he rules and reigns and subdues and destroys all his enemies and ours. And faith believes that Christ still reigns even here. He gives you himself and he is armed to protect you from enemies without and against the enemies within. The rod can sometimes be raised against the sheep to teach the sheep a disciplinary lesson. Maybe the sheep is prone to go astray and to get further lost in the gloom of the darkness, and the shepherd has to, with pity, break the leg of the sheep so it will not wander off anymore. And so my wandering heart, which is prone to wander from the Lord and even to get lost in the darkness, when all seems to be desperation, the good shepherd who gives himself his arm to protect me from my own wandering heart. To use the rod of loving discipline to keep me from fault and error when I go astray. And his staff, what does his staff do? His staff steadies me when I should fall. The shepherd's staff, we're familiar with the crook, the shepherd's crook, right? How does he use that? Think about a newborn lamb. A lamb which somehow in the commotion of the flock, it's separated from its mother. And is cut off from nourishment and from the milk of the mother. And what does the good shepherd do? He uses that shepherd's crook to gently pick up that lamb in all the commotion and bring it back to the mother. Not wanting to touch the lamb with his hands per se, because the mother might pick up the fragrance of the shepherd and reject the lamb. But he uses the staff. He uses the staff to restore. He uses the staff to steady, to guide me in the right paths. And so the rod he uses to call me from my fault and error, the staff he uses to keep me in his truth. And so I have a good shepherd who is my everlasting security. Even if he leads me here, because he gives me himself, he's been here, he's been through here before for me, and he knows every step to take. And he is armed to protect me all the way to the end. Think of Psalm 71 and verse 20, where there we have this profession of confidence. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And Psalm 71 is written in the context of utter disaster. The enemies have overrun the people of God. The promise of God seems to have fallen to the ground. And yet there's comfort, comfort, comfort. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus' ministry in Isaiah chapter 61 is a ministry of comfort, is it not? To those who are in darkness. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are in gloom, to comfort all who mourn, to comfort those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. This is the Good Shepherd's ministry. And it's his very presence, the one who is Emmanuel. The one who is tempted and tested in all parts, all points, just like you and yet without sin. The one who has intimate knowledge of the darkness which you walk through or will walk through or have walked through, and who has infinite sympathy as the God-man, who walks with you though everything seems to be falling apart. But he's not falling apart, because he is the everlasting security for his blood-bought sheep, wherever he leads, even to the valley of the shadow of death. Because of what he gives himself. He gives himself as the armed one to protect us. He gives us comfort. But why does he do all this? Why does he do this? We could say, well, he does it for his name's sake. That would be true. But is it not here in verse 4 that he does all of this so that you might stand secure? That you would fear no evil. He does this so that you would stand secure. I will fear no evil, no, not even the evil of death. Even the darkness that can be felt will not cause me to fear. What does verse 4 say? The valley of the shadow of death. I could ask the children here today. Does the shadow of a dog bite? No. Does the shadow of a sword cut? No. Does the shadow of death destroy? No. Oh, there is an enemy, death itself. But for you who are bought by the blood of the Good Shepherd, it is but a shadow of death. It is but a shadow if Christ is for me, and a shadow can do me no harm. You see, the Good Shepherd wants you to stand secure. One has put it this way, here is the courage of the dying saint. In the midst of dangers, deep as a valley, dark as a shadow, and dreadful as death itself, yet death cannot separate us from the love of God, and therefore it can do us no real harm. Death shall be to you no death at all, but a very deliverance from death, from all pains, cares, and sorrows, miseries and wretchedness of this world, and the very entry into rest and a beginning of everlasting joy. The venom of death's sting is taken away. The point of his arrow is blunted so that it can pierce no deeper than the body. It cannot reach the soul. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One asks, are you tempted to fear? Surmount your fears by the assurance that your shepherd is leading you even into the valley of gloom, not to leave you there, but to lead you through. Cast yourself upon his protection. Though you must walk past the dark recesses and dens of the wild beasts, lift up your eyes and behold the protecting care of Christ. Fix your eyes on him, and so tread down the terrors of death under your feet. Oh, the Good Shepherd is the everlasting security of His blood-bought people. And He is so that you might stand secure. You might stand secure in Him, in His care, in His being with you, being united to you, and leading you all the way. Is this not the voice of the psalmist David in Psalm 3? But you, O Lord, are a shield to me. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Psalm 56, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Psalm 91, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. And think of the Apostle Paul. Oh, we read Romans chapter 8. The triumphant confidence and security of the believer in Jesus Christ. But how did that work out for him as he was facing the valley of the shadow of death? How did it work out for him? Did the Good Shepherd prove to be an unstable staff to lean upon? How did it work out for him when he was brought before Caesar just 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? This is how it worked out for him. That my first defense, the apostle says, and my first defense, no one stood with me, but everyone forsook me. Cheery words. Sounding pretty good, huh? But 2 Timothy 4 doesn't stop there. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Interesting. But is that it? Well, the Lord must have given him grace to be able to pray for his enemies, those who forsook him. I don't feel like praying for those who forsake me. What's the key? What's the key? At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. There's the key. How did it work out for him? Though everyone forsook him. Though he walked, in one sense, in the shoes of Jesus, knowing what it was like for Jesus to come unto his own and his own not receive him, to have all reject him, and he as a follower taking up his cross, you as a follower taking up your cross, at the end of the day, when everything is taken away and all forsake you and no one can walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death, there's only one who can lead you. All else must turn back. Everyone else. There's nobody else who can walk with you. But the Lord stood with me. You see, this is the Good Shepherd who is the everlasting security of His people. When the shadow of death is relentlessly closing in, only He can securely lead you through. All other guides must turn back. Look not to miserable comforters. There is only one who is the true consolation of Israel. And here He is. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what? If your God is only for sunny days, your God is not worth trusting. If your God is only for happy times, then your God is not worth leaning on. If your God is only for happy, clappy, wonderful ease, then your God will fail you. But the true God is not only for sunny days. He is for the deepest, darkest, gloomiest pathway that you can ever imagine, that you never would have chosen to walk on. And he promises to be your everlasting security. And so who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who, what? Loved us. Can it be that the good shepherd would love such a rebellious sheep as me? Could it be that he would love such a cantankerous sheep as you? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's where we stand. There's security. And that's why the apostle can say, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation, no separation, everlasting security in the Good Shepherd. Will you not praise him? Will you not praise him? All tossed about, many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within, fears without. Don't say, I'm alone and exposed. And have no hope. Say, O Lamb of God, I come to you. I come. For you know what it's like to be a lamb. The sacrificial lamb. For wandering lost sheep like me. And you're not just a lamb. You're my good shepherd who laid down your life for me. And you'll lead me all the way home. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for the Good Shepherd, that he is our everlasting security wherever he leads us, even in the darkest gloom, because he gives us himself so that we would stand secure in him and that our hope and our confidence would not be in ourselves. And we know, O Lord, that you are in the business of kicking out all the props which we would naturally lean upon, because you want us to lean only upon your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we pray, dear Savior, draw us to yourself today to strengthen faith where it is present, to give hope to those who know you as the hope of Israel, to give true rescue to those who are lost. We pray, O gracious God, set the Good Shepherd before our hearts, our minds, and our consciences today, that we may have a soul which is still, knowing that our Savior is with us. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.
Join me now in listening to our congregation as they sing, To God Be the Glory.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. The First Church of Merrimack meets each Lord's Day for public worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire. It's at the corner of Daniel Webster Highway and Route 3, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's First Covenant of 1771, "To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen."